Thank you, my friend. Right, so who knows what I'm going to teach you today? How to be a good soldier. Somebody say, how to be a good soldier. And so last week, we started talking about that a good soldier never quits. Say, a good soldier never quits. So my first point was, don't quit. Here's what I want you to understand. There are people, there are peoples who are going to quit, and they're going to quit 3 weeks before they come into a breakthrough. And they're going to quit because some people who are married are going to quit 3 weeks before they break through. And here's why. Because they're listening to the wrong voice. Do you understand? They're listening to the wrong voice. How many know God has a plan for you? Raise your hand if you know God has a plan for you. How many understand Satan also has a plan for you? Come on. We have a wonderful dog, new dog. Pastor, when are you going to stop getting new dogs? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just, you know what? Anyway, we have a new dog, and this dog's name's Latte. Latte has all these toys. He's got a toy box, and throughout the day, Latte will pull these toys. She has them in her mouth, and she wants it. She wants a parade. And Tamara makes a big deal when Latte has a toy. So she does that all the time, and it's a big deal. Well, when Tyler was growing up, we went to the mountains one time, and we bought him this little stuffed animal, and it was called Monkey. And Monkey means a lot to us. And so Tyler gave us Monkey, and we have Monkey. Well, Latte thinks Monkey is one of her toys. She knows it's not, but she is relentless. Tamara has it tucked in our bed behind a bunch of pillows, and this happens all the time. We'll look over, and there Latte is with Monkey, and it is not cool. Can somebody say amen? I said, Pastor, why do you tell that funny story? Here's why. Because that's how Satan is with us. He's relentless. And Latte is relentless. He'll just wait, she'll wait, she'll wait, she'll, and all of a sudden, it's like, how did you get that? That's what Satan wants. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he comes. So God has a plan. Satan has a plan too. Last week I said, do not quit, and that's so important. But it's also important for me to teach you and to train you and tell you not only not to quit, but I want to show you why people quit. If we understand the why, Jesus is a phenomenal teacher. You're not going to get a better teacher than Jesus. And in this example, he not only is encouraging us not to quit, he's going to tell us why people quit. Why is he telling them why people quit? Because he wants us to understand the schemes of Satan. Let me understand what I'm talking about. So turn to Mark chapter 4. You don't have your Bible or you don't have a New King James. We have it up on the screen. There's a lot of good versions, including New King James. It's a great version. And so we encourage you to get a New King James so you can read with us word for word. But if you don't have one, we have it up here today on the screens. Mark chapter 4. Man, we got a nice cool breeze today. Do you feel that breeze? Blowing my Bible pages. That's all right. That's all right. So he talks about this seed that is being sown, that is being spread, and he gives four different examples of that seed being spread. And so after he's done, this is really important, after he's done, there's some people, look at your neighbor and say, some people. Do the exaggeration on the some. Some people. Some people really care about the word of God. Amen? Amen. Come on. Somebody help me preach this. I'm looking at a bunch of them right now. Hallelujah. You would be at home in bed eating some Cheetos and some Doritos and some fajitas right now, right? That doesn't rhyme, but you could be eating that right now, relaxing. But no, you see the importance. It used to bother me. This passage used to really bother me. And here's how come. Because he preaches this parable. And after he's done preaching the parable, there's some, no, that was for the apostles. No, read your Bible. It wasn't just for the apostles. The apostles stayed, but a bunch of other people stayed that weren't apostles. Why? Because they wanted to dig deep. They wanted to understand, okay, Jesus said all that, but what does that mean? He says, to them is given the riches of heaven. See, they understand. You're going to understand. And let me tell you what. God is not a respecter of persons. That's why that bothered me. Because I thought, you know what? Why in the world is Jesus not teaching plainly that everyone could understand? Can I tell you why? Because he wants you to dig deep. He wants you to do what Cheap Trick told us, you know what, in the 80s. He wants you to want him. And so these people are going to discover what all this is about. And this is critical because Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's going to do that to you. He doesn't have any new tricks. He doesn't have any new tricks. He doesn't have any new tricks. He's going to do it the same way that he did before. Amen. So last week, the first thing we said is don't quit. Do not quit. I guarantee you, if you listen to the Spirit of God is not telling you to quit your marriage. The Spirit of God is not telling you to quit believing and praying for your kids. The Spirit of God is not telling you to stop tithing and giving. The Spirit of God isn't telling you to stop forgiving. The Spirit of God isn't telling you not to do any of those things. The Spirit of God is telling you, you continue to do these things. It's the spirit of the enemy who comes but to steal, kill, and destroy to tell you to quit. Listen, understand, get the tape. The only power that Satan has in your life is the influential power that he has to try to get you to think wrongly. And if you think wrongly, then you're going to do wrongly. You're going to say wrongly, and you're going to do wrongly. That it's as simple as that. Victory is ours. Amen. If all we'll do is make a decision, I don't care. And I said this, for many of you, it's victory is 3 weeks away. But listen to me, I don't care if it's 3 weeks away or 33 weeks away or 133 weeks away. Victory is yours. Isaac, we used to sing a song, a great song. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine, all mine. Victory is yours. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. If you haven't, you know what? What you think? You don't go into McDonald's and go, man, I didn't get a Big Mac yet. No, sometimes you got to wait in line, amen? See, we understand this in the natural. Sometimes we got to understand things in the spiritual. You know, how many walk in McDonald's and you're like, man, I don't have my Big Mac yet. And you walk away without your Big Mac. No, you're there for a Big Mac. Come on, somebody. Oh, here, let me, maybe somebody else can relate to this. How many of you wait? Man, I'm driving the other day. I almost get in a car accident at In-N-Out the other day. Come on, am I the only one? Man, there's all these people waiting in line again. I mean, no, it's not In-N-Out. False advertising. It's in and in and in. And then it's out. They couldn't fit that all on their sign. Well, let's recognize the same is true. And you might not be 3 weeks away. Who cares? My number one point last week, don't quit. My number two point, and we're just going through the examples that Jesus gave, wayside. What's the seed on the wayside? The seed on the wayside is seed that we're planting seed. We're throwing it all over, but some of it comes on the concrete. That's hard ground. It doesn't receive anything. Oh, yeah, God's fake. God's phony. Bunch of people nowadays. Oh, God's fake. God's phony. All the Christians are a bunch of crazies. You know what? They can hear the word of God, but their heart is so hard. Notice, the seed is good. Come on. Notice this. The word is good. It's the ground that dictates what happens to the seed. What's the ground? The ground is your heart. You want a harvest? Soften your heart and you'll get a harvest. Oh, you missed a good time to shout amen. Soften your heart and you'll get a harvest. Amen. Amen. The seed ain't the problem. The heart's the problem. And the first one is the wayside. The first one is the wayside. Hard ground. Hard heart. The second one is stony ground. Stony ground says, and they have no root in themselves. So endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. We talked about this last week. Somebody say persecution. Pastor, I'm so persecuted. You know what? I went to Starbucks today, and I always like that salted caramel hot chocolate. And they didn't have any salt. They ran out of salt. I'm so persecuted. You didn't listen to last week's sermon. Please listen to it. There needs to be a toughening up. We have pastors. Pastor last, you just saw it on TV this week. Pastor right now in Canada. Not in China. In Canada. And what's his crime? His crime is, in the midst of COVID, he's still having church. He's still telling people that we need to meet together. So they throw him in jail. He gets out of jail to come to his church to see not one fence, but two fences. The second fence has barbed wire on it. Even if he gets past the barbed wire, they've changed all the locks. Listen, church, wake up. Wake up to the fascism that is around us, and speak up. Amen. This is craziness. If you didn't listen to the sermon last week, you need to listen to it. Because who's going to stand up for what's right if the Christians don't stand up for what's right? That's what happened in Germany. All the Christians just went along, well, you know what, we're supposed to walk in peace. Jesus said, I don't come to bring peace but a sword. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. There's times, yes, live peacefully amongst yourself. As much depends upon you, absolutely. But there's a time that we need to stand up to bullies. You can say amen to this. You're like, oh, I don't know if I should say amen. You're like, is there a camera there? Are they going to take my job soon because I said amen at Hope Community Church? That's what I'm saying. We've got to recognize, guys, if we don't stand up for this country, who's going to stand up for this country? If we don't stand up for our rights of freedom to speak the truth, who's going to do it? If we don't stand up for the right, this is constitutional in our Constitution, that we can gather together, who's going to do that? Who's going to do it if we don't? So we talked last week about the persecution that could come. I hope it doesn't. But if it does, you know what? Here's a great question. But if it does, how many people are going to leave the church? If persecution comes, how many of you are going to still say, I don't care. I don't care. They can take my job, but they're not going to take my commitment to Jesus Christ. I mean, I'll figure it out. See, how many are going to go there? Or are you going to be one of those who, the Bible says, they don't have root in themselves. They're so not dependent on, they don't understand, God is the one who's going to take care of you. But today, I want to talk about this fourth thing, the thorns. There's some of this seed, and it gets thrown out, and it's in this thorny ground. Now, here's what the Bible says. Verse 18. Put it up here on the screens. Verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorny grounds. Now, Jesus is going to tell you what thorny ground is. They are the ones who hear the word of God. Say, hear the word of God. Okay, let's stop here. Oh, look at your neighbor. Say, this could be you. Why? Are you hearing the word of God now? See, these people hear the word of God. Are you catching this? But look what happens. Look what happens to them. They hear the word of God. Look at your neighbor and say, hearing is not enough. Oh, I heard the word of God, Pastor. You're so good today. That was so great. I'm going to go home and do none of it, but you're great today. No, no, no. That's why we say, having heard, we will do the word of God. But look what happens. Verse 19, and the cares of this world, number one, we'll talk about that in a minute. The deceitfulness of riches, we'll talk about that in a minute. And the desires for other things entering in. I've got underlined entering in. Why? Because you've got to allow those things to enter in. If you'll stand up and say, I ain't going to let any of those three things enter in, then that can't come in. It's your choice. Entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I know so many people who used to be very fruitful who are not fruitful at all anymore. Okay? So let's talk about the three things. Number one, won't take me long to do this. Number one, cares. Say cares. The cares of the world. That word in the Greek, that cares, it's actually two words put together, and one means divided, and the other means mind. These cares are a divided mind. And so, this is really important to understand, because this isn't overt. Sometimes we get tricked because we think Satan is going to look like Satan. But the Bible says he comes as an angel of light. So this isn't overt. This is covert. This is stealth. This is in your day, you just get too busy to allow your pastor to mentor you. You had a hard week, and you've got a lot of stuff you got to do. And so excuse you if you don't come to church every week. See, and people don't understand the value, how important the word is. And so they really overvalue or overplay the grace of God. Well, you know, you're not going to go to hell if you don't go to church every week. You know, come on, pastor, get in line with the New Testament. Well, let me tell you what the New Testament says. All things are lawful, but all things are not profitable. What I know about Satan is he just takes, you know what, baby steps. And he tries to get you to take a baby step backwards, a baby step backwards, a baby. Can I teach somebody today? It's just a little step at a time. Well, you know what? Well, you won't go to hell for that. Well, you know what? You won't go to hell for that. Well, you won't go to hell for that. You know what? God's, you know what? You know, pastor's the legalist and he's getting all in your face for, you know, no. I ain't getting in anybody's face. But I'm not ignorant to Satan's devices. And how many people do you know who used to serve God and all they did was just take a little baby step backwards, just a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time. And next thing you know, and there's all these other, ignorant people who are going to agree. That was funny, huh? Who are going to agree with you that you're not going to hell. Listen, when Jesus says in the final day, I will say, there are going to be a bunch of people, and he says, I will say to them, depart from me, you doers of iniquity, I never knew you. You know what word he uses in that text? Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I never knew you. I don't care if you're going the wrong way on the freeway and you think you're going the right way. I'm not going to let you and your cousin and your, you know what, your mama or your papa or your whatever going to convince me I'm going to go a different direction. I know the way of the Lord. I see it in his word, and that's the direction I'm going. Amen. As far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do it unapologetically. We don't care what people think, what people say. It don't make any difference. I'm staying on track. But the reality, the cares of this world are just these little things that pull you here, pull you there, pull you here, pull you there. And we got a bunch of people that probably aren't even saved. You say, Pastor, they're not saved. It's none of my business. I don't know whether they're saved or not. But I know this, just because you call yourself a Christian don't mean you're a Christian. Just because, somebody listen to me, just because you think you're a Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian. I got no problem going outside of my backyard and knowing the difference between between the lemon tree and the orange tree. How do I know that? Come on, this is deep. How do I know one is an orange tree and one is a lemon tree? How do I know the difference? Because I see the fruit. You know what? So I'm not going to say, you know what? You can be, oh, I'm a banana tree. You know what I mean? You can think that all you want. But if you're not, you're not. And look at your life. And so what happens is a little bit of time, little bit of time, little bit of time, little bit of time. Just things. I can't tell you how many people have been taken out. Oh, Tamara, should I say it? Okay, I'm going to say it. Tamara did just went like this with her. But I you need to know it. Who needs a pastor who's too afraid to tell people the truth that's going to save them? I can't tell you how many people have been taken out in the guise of Little League. I'm just saying. The next thing you know, their son is the next, you know what? Hank Aaron, you know what I mean? Right? And you got all these coaches, Now listen, let me be clear. I'm not saying sports are evil. I'm not saying you can't be involved in organized sports. I'm saying you better have your eyes open and you better be teaching your boy who you're getting in, who, and parents, understand you're going to be responsible for a lot of this stuff. A lot of your kids have no desire to be in Little League, but you signed them up for Little League. Pastor, are you saying Little League is evil? I'm not saying Little League is evil. I'm telling you personally how many people, it doesn't happen in 3 weeks, but over 3 years, next thing you know, they were involved in church all the time. You say, Pastor, church doesn't save you. I'm not saying that church saves you, but church is an indication. Listen, y'all love God. You know, why was Jesus always in church? Because he loved God. Why were the apostles always in church? Because they loved God. This stinking thinking of, you know what? Well, you don't have to go to church to love God. Yeah, right. If you love God, you're going to care about his bride. You are his bride. I love coming to church. Why? Because I love God. Like, stop trying to fake yourself out. No, I love God. I never come to church, but I love God. I never give a penny, but I love, well, that one $8 I gave that one time, but that's all. But I love God. Listen, the worst deception is self-deception. And it doesn't happen overnight, but these thorns are coming in and they're going to steal the most thing that you have to pay attention to is the word of God and treasuring that. Protect your heart with all diligence, for out of that are going, listen, your life, let me tell you how your life is going to go. I'll prophetically tell you for a fact how your life is going to go. If you have a lot of the word, if you have a lot of God, your life is going to go very well. If you don't, it's not. Period. And I'm not talking about a world's definition of a good life. I'm talking about God's definition of a good life. You know, how many people in Hollywood commit suicide? They got all the money, all the fame, all this stuff that the world says is successful. They're not successful. They're miserable. Amen. I'm talking about a God's understanding of what a quality life is. How many here today? How many are still here today? How many can take this sermon today? Amen. Come on, how many tough enough to take this sermon today and recognize that I might be talking to you? You might have already allowed things to creep into your life that are taking the word out, and you've got to recognize, listen, this is not, you're not, you know what, a demonic person didn't knock on your door and cast a spell on you, and now you're into witchcraft. This is not what we're talking about, guys. It's not, it's covert. It doesn't look like anything wrong, but you've just gotten way too busy. And the one person that you took out of your life is becoming less and less and less valuable in your life is God. And the Bible says, you need to, Jesus himself is saying, guys, if this is your ground, recognize what's going on. Amen. And it can be anything. It can be sports. Doesn't have to be sports. It can be sports. It can be school. It doesn't have to be school. It can be school. It can be school. It can be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And all of a sudden, somebody was told, and now it's like, oh, well, you know, Becky wants me to go here, so I got to go with Becky. Oh, my goodness. Slip out the back, Jack. Amen. You don't need Becky, you need Jesus. Amen. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a good boyfriend, a good girlfriend. But listen, but have the integrity to break up with them if you need to. Look at your neighbor and say, it can be anything. Number two, are you learning something? How many so glad you came today? Number two, the deceitfulness of riches. Now let's park here for a minute because I've got to go into detail. It doesn't say riches. Amen. Does it say riches? No. You know why it doesn't say riches? I'm waiting for your answer. Do you know why it doesn't say riches? Because riches aren't the problem. There are so many people that are so wealthy, and I'm telling you what, they have their head screwed on straight. They have their commitment to Jesus Christ, and they're, you know, praise God, come drive. You know what? It's weird. Christians, watch the separation. I told you this to you last week, right before we ended, but you're going to hear this over and over again. Watch the enemy as he comes to try to, one of the reasons he comes to steal, kill, and destroy is he tries to divide us. That's how he does it. I don't care what color you are. I hope you don't care what color I am. Oh, you could say amen to this. Hope you don't care what color I am. But I don't care what color you are. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but I could care less what color you are. Amen. And God help us when we start, you know what? I'm old school. You know what? I like what Martin Luther King, his principle. I pray for a country when we're looking at people's character, not the color of their skin. We have reverted back in this country, and we are putting labels on people based on the color of skin that they are, and to that. She's my expression. But I am what I am. And that is disgusting, and we need to recognize it. Well, let me tell you what's part of that is, you know what, that people, you know, people who don't have very much, all of a sudden they have this condescension on people who have a lot. And you don't know their character. Those rich people could be some of the sweetest, kindest, nicest, most generous people in the whole world. Amen? But you're going to judge from the outward appearance instead of what God does is he judged from the inside. The riches, the wealth doesn't have to do with it. It's the deception of wealth. It's the deceiving. What's the deceiving? The deceivingness of riches. Can I tell you what it is? It's you think that having money, oh, we love you guys. Really, really, really. Matter of fact, just stretch your hands towards this couple right now. Father, we thank you for the anointing on this couple's life. We thank you for bringing them to this church. I thank you for the encouragement that they both are to me. I thank you for the wonderful heritage that they have. And I thank you for their love and support to Tamara and I specifically. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The deceitfulness of riches, let me tell you what that is. That's when you think riches are going to provide something for you that God can't. You say, Pastor, how much is too much? Can I tell you how much is too much? Too much money is whenever you reach that amount of money and you disconnect with God. Because now that amount causes you to recognize, I'm going to take care of myself. You know, the Bible says that money is like wings, and it can just fly away. I didn't read the article. I didn't have time to read that article. I just saw the caption, and it said, it had a picture of this guy, and he said, this is recently, you could look it up, and he said, this guy lost it was in the billions. I think it was 5 billion, maybe 2 billion in 2 days. How do you do that? Well, I tell you what. When I worked in the grocery store, every once in a while, there would be these talk about a strike. Our contract would be up. And people would come to me a lot of times. I was a Christian. They'd come to me, Pastor, you know, they wouldn't call me Pastor. Drew, what do you think? And I'd say, don't make no difference to me. You know what? God is my provider. He takes care of me. I trust in God, and he's going to take care of me. One way, I mean, strike. You know what? And sure enough, You know what? He did. The deceitfulness of riches is where you think that there's some amount, or you thinking, and you might not even have that amount. You can still be deceived and thinking, as soon as I get this amount, as soon as I get this, then everything's going to, then I'm going to be able to. You're delusional. Amen. And you're deceived. And it's going to cause you, watch this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says you ought to be content if you have food and clothing. That ought to be contention for you. Content, not contention. That ought to make you content. Now, listen to me very carefully, very, very carefully. Somebody say very carefully. Because when I go into this, I want to make sure there's some of you who are going to be called to be very rich people. Talk about incredible wealth. And I don't want you to hear this. I don't want you to hear it. Yeah, somebody says, yeah, that's me, Pastor. You're prophesying here. But if I say this, I don't want some of you who have a calling, you're anointed to make a lot of money. I could show it to you in the New Testament. There's all kinds of supernatural gifts. One of them is a gift of generosity. Now, how many know we all need to be generous? The tithing's for everyone. Guys, I love the tithing because it's for everyone. Every single one of us, and Candace, thank you for your insight. Every single one of us, God wants to be part of building the kingdom. You know what? I don't know how much money you make. I don't care how much money you make. But it is God's calling for you, his purpose for you, to be part of this. I don't know how much money you make. I don't care how much money you make. But I tell you right now, it's God's plan for you that you be part. I could keep, it doesn't make any difference. But now God has a plan that all of us would be rowing together. Amen. And some of us have bigger rows than others. But we all have our row that we're rowing. And we're all contributing. We're all part of saying, hey, isn't this cool? I'm all part. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I need to preface this because some of you are going to look, yeah, but the Bible said that, you know, Pastor said, the Bible said that all we need should be content is our clothing and is our food. That's true. But it doesn't change the fact. Some of you, God has put in this inside of you. You're entrepreneurs, you're business people, and God has put in, you know what, inside of you. I know, I don't know a man, but I know the church that this happened to. Big church in Diamond Bar, one man wrote run check, put solar panels on the whole church, and they had a substantial, it was a very large church, they had a substantial Edison bill every month. Now you know how much their Edison bill is? Nothing. One man wrote run check. Oh, let me, not let me pay your Edison bill this month. Let me put a solar system on your roof that you won't ever have an Edison bill. Now, I don't need that man for our church, and I believe not just men, but women, and many of you, I don't want you to walk away and say, oh, the deceitfulness of riches, all I have to be content is, no, God's put this thing in you that is driving you. You're a business person, and you're, I love you, you're not like all the rest of us. You're different, and God has made you different. And that's okay. See, Satan will take the word. How many know Satan will take the word, twist it, and get you off your purpose? For those businessmen and businesswomen, don't get off your purpose. You be content with your clothes and your food, but understand your calling. Does that make sense? But there are so many people. Can I be honest with you? That's why a bunch of people don't tithe. You're not rich. Well, deceitfulness of riches. That's not me. You know what? And that's not me. I got these, you know, these are, look, these are Old Navy. You know what I mean? That's not me. See, this is your proof that you think this is your proof that you're godly. This ain't your proof that you're godly. This is proof that you're cheap. Amen. Right? I hope you caught that pun. Those are on my shoes, not yours. Okay. But here's my point. You know what? That's what keeps many people from tithing. Because they think that it's part of the deception. They think that money is going to be their provider. And so that's exactly why they don't tithe. That's exactly why they don't give. Because they think that money's going to... No, you're deceived. And eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually that'll take... Listen to me. This is what Jesus said. Eventually, that will take you out. Well, you know what? Pastor, what are you saying? You're going to go to hell if you don't tithe? You ain't going to go to hell if you don't tithe. Listen. There's nobody in hell that put their trust in God. Nobody in hell that didn't put their trust in God. See, calm down with the tithe. Get over it. It's 10%, guys. It's 10 cents out of every dollar. Get over yourself. People who don't tithe, who cares what they do? They shouldn't be funding the kingdom of God. We should be funding the kingdom of God. What's the will of God for your life? To trust in God. One of the main ways you trust in God is by proving it every time you get paid and taking 10% and saying, this doesn't belong to mine. You know what? Thank God, thank you. Every week, take the tithe. What I did, cash your check. That's what I did when I worked for Lucky's. Cash my check, took 10% out, put it in a part of my wallet that wasn't the other part. Because when all the parts are together, I'd spend all of it. Am I the only one? Am I the only one who can spend every penny that I have? All right. Are you learning something? So, Pastor, I didn't think you were going to preach on the tithe. I'm not preaching on the tithe. I'm preaching on your and my putting our trust in God. And the deceitfulness of riches is people who will not put their trust in God. That's what it is. All right. Number three, desire for other things. The original language in the Greek, when you read this out in the Greek, here's what it means. In the English, it says desire for other things. In the Greek, it more kind of gives this condescending. Everything else. Everything else. God wants us to be focused on Him. Just Him. And what happens is people have their focus on a lot of things. And eventually, you won't produce anything. I could do a little bit, but I'm not a very good multitasker. I'm a good focus, get it done-er. Mono what? I'm a monorail, amen. So I'm driving in my car the other day, and I heard this, I got all excited because I hear this study on multitaskers. And the study said multitaskers, yeah, they can do a lot of things, but they did this study and they found the problem with multitaskers is they don't really do anything with excellence. I'm like, I am not a multitasker. I can only do one thing at a time. But understand this. God wants you to be, Jesus was very focused, and He wants us to be very focused. Does that make sense? Doesn't want us to lose our focus on anything. He wants us to keep our focus on God. God speaks of jealousy. See, it doesn't make any difference what it is. You know, if I had an affair on my wife, who cares if the lady was tall or short, fat or skinny? You know what I mean? Do you understand? God's the same way. He doesn't care. That's why it's all the rest. All of the rest, he is jealous. Jealous God. This is a true story. There was a man, very, very good athlete. And he got in a serious car accident and he lost his arm. Very good athlete. So he recovered and he wanted to get back into sports. And he was trying to figure out what he could do. Well, he started playing handball. Handball, I don't know, is an intense sport. You have to be a very good athlete. And, you know, you don't have a racket. You know, you're hitting this thing with your hand. It's very intense. And you have to be very coordinated. Anyway, it's an intense sport. And you have to be a very good athlete to play it well. Well, he was in a club, and they had, at the end of the year, they had a contest to see who would be the club champion. And guess what? He was the club champion. Then his club entered him to the state championship, where all these clubs in the state would, and this is a big deal. Well, he went to that state championship. He won the state championship. After he had won, there was a newspaper reporter that went to him and asked him, I don't mean to be rude, but can you tell me how in the world, with one arm, could you beat all these champions from all over the state, and they have two? He just laughed. He said, that's easy. He said, options. He said, I have a huge advantage with them. Because those people, those competitors, when they go to address the ball when it comes off the wall, they have to figure out which hand they're going to hit it with. He said, I never have to do that. And in a game, you know what, in a series, there are thousands of times that ball is coming off that wall, and that second that they have to figure it out, I never have to figure it out. He said, so you look at it and say, they had the advantage. The reality is, I have the advantage over all of them. See, the reality is, we lose what God has called us to do because we refuse to be single-minded and just be focused. Look at Jesus. Jesus goes up to the apostles and he says, do you want to become fishers of men? Drop your nets and follow me. See, we need to understand the example of Jesus, because we don't have, even maybe even amongst us, we don't have a lot of people who do this in the church. Very focused. One point, there's this gentleman who wants to follow God, and he says to Jesus, Jesus, wait first. First, I need to, you wait for me, because first, I need to bury my father. And see, we, in a wrong understanding of this passage, think, yeah, Jesus, let the guy bury his father. Jesus looks at him and says, no. All those other people in your family who are dead spiritually, do you have anybody like that in your family? Let them bury him. I'm purposeful. I got something to do. I'm not looking for those who have excuses and think that they're legitimate excuses. I'm looking for the one who wants to follow me and be focused on what I'm doing. Amen? That's who I'm looking for. See, I'm just asking. We remember who is the guy who sold the t-shirts? Eugene. We had a good friend, Eugene. And Eugene had, I think he just had two shirts initially. Initially had just two shirts. One, I think, just said, "I love Jesus." It was a red, white, and blue shirt. And then he had another, I think, yellow and blue shirt. And it said, "By his stripes, I'm healed." Or why, I don't know what the colors were. Anyway, he had two shirts. And he, oh yeah, Property of Jesus. And he would go to these events and sell his shirts. And it'd sell a bunch and sell a bunch and sell a bunch and sell a bunch. Well, one time Tamara and I went with him. But Eugene was always thinking of these shirt ideas and think, oh, and he'd come up with another idea and he'd print that shirt and another idea. And these were cool shirts. But what we noticed is here's what happened. He'd have, and eventually he probably had 10 shirts. And these people would come up to the booth and then, oh, I like that one. Oh, I like that one. Oh, that one's good. Oh, I like that one. Huh. Watch this. Huh. Huh. We told Eugene, you want to sell more shirts? Go back to just two shirts, man. I believe that in our busyness, we become focused on too many things. And God is reminding us, listen, you want to not quit? You've got to be willing to just focus on me. And to do that, you know what? You're going to tick off some family members. For some of you, you got to have a discussion with your husband and wife. You know, and say, hey, you know what? We've got to focus here. And I want to be honest with the Spirit of God is telling me. I'm hearing God speak to you today. We're going to do two things. We're going to pray with you. If you hear God speaking for you, I want to come in agreement with you. But before we do that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure. If you're not saved, you don't know you're saved, you don't know Jesus, you might have come to this church, somebody invited you, you're not sure, you're like, I don't know about all this Christianity, but listen, but you hear this knocking inside your heart. There's this pulling. What's happening? God is saying, invite me into your heart. I want to change you. I want to become the one in charge of your life. Don't do it next week. Don't procrastinate it. Don't, oh, I better not. No, it's the best decision you made. Maybe for some of you who are watching at home, you need to make this decision. Ask Jesus to come in your heart. Just right now, we're just going to ask Jesus in our heart. If we'll open the door, he'll let us in. I don't know who that's for. But if this is for you, just pray this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to be a Christian today. I repent of my selfishness. In your name I pray, amen. Now, if God spoke to you in any way, a little way, minor way, big way, huge way, some way in this message, I want you to quickly raise up your hand. Quickly, I want you to raise up your hand high so I can see it. Pray this with me. Father, this wasn't a good message. This was a God message to me. Help me to become single-minded. Help me to have the courage to say no to things I should have been saying no to all along. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.